Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern in this morning from our Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. We'll kind of look back and look ahead. Happy New Year, Patrick.
Yes, Happy New Year. It's going to be here before you know it.
Oh, it's amazing. And what a year for Riverside.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this morning. And we've talked about this as Broadway, you know, and a lot of regional and other theaters suffer still from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Riverside is humming along, I must say.
We are. We had a little bit of a speed bump in the summer, but it wasn't, you know, we've been able to get over the hump. I just always revert back to the pandemic. I think one of the smartest things we did was stay relevant, even when the times were tough, and even when there were all those kinds of rules of spacing and all of that stuff. We had the space to do it, and we did it, and it kept us rolling. And so I think this is the we're reaping the benefits from that time. And
anybody that went to any of those shows will tell you they were really meaningful because there was nothing, and you all did such a good job.
We did, and boy, we were not one of those places where you read about, oh my God, there's all these cases of COVID, and what are they doing? We did it all pristine, and you know, we're better for it.
Even to the point of, I had wanted you to come in here, and other people were starting to come back, and you said, I don't feel like I should. We have things in place, and I feel like if I do that, then all of a sudden it will open the door that others will see that and think, oh, I don't have to be quite as careful.
I just tried to, you know, I didn't ask anybody to do anything that I wouldn't do myself during that period of time. So, but now here we are 6 years later, and we made the transition to nonprofit January of 2024, and now we're coming into January of 2026. So 2 years of nonprofit, and I think probably the two best years in Riverside's history, 2024 and 2025. And just to give you one of the things that we're just ecstatic about, I got the numbers yesterday for both Sound of Music and White Christmas, because the show closed this past Sunday. And from August 20th, when we opened Sound of Music, to the end of this year, there were almost 26,000 people through our doors in just those two shows. And the company had a tremendous growth that the company has never seen. And it's a lot to do with the shows that were chosen. Sound of Music is a classic, and White Christmas is a classic. But I think it had a lot to do. Sound of Music was not only great for the theater, but it was a great commercial for the theater, because so many new people came through our doors. They were tantalized by the wonderful commercial that we put together with Adam Dodd. We went up to Chatham and shot the commercial like if it were Julie Andrews in the Swiss Mountains or Swiss Alps. And so many people caught that as we now do TV spots up in Northern Virginia and Prince William County. And so we had people just flowing in to see the Sound of Music. And in turn, when you get them in the seats and they see such a great show, well, then they want to come back and see what's next. So we reap the benefits of the following show, White Christmas, which just was charming as well. So so here we are going into 2026, and I hope we can replicate these last 2 years, because they've been wonderful.
26,000, though, from August.
In just two shows.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first came to Riverside, you know, 30,000 people was like, wow, that was a lot of people for the year.
Right.
And this year will probably be somewhere between 60,000-70,000 people through our doors, adding the other four shows. So that doesn't include Jesus Christ Superstar or To Kill a Mockingbird or the Heartbreak Hotel.
Which were big.
Were pretty big, big, yeah. And the only bump, not for any artistic reasons, because it was beautiful, but Next to Normal just did not catch on. I think that it was a show that maybe was, you know, a little difficult material-wise, and people, you know, didn't maybe want to be faced with issues that dealt with mental health. I don't know, but cast was outstanding. The music was outstanding. So artistically, it was a huge success. But as far as putting the people in the seats, it was not. So, but we were able to pick up the pieces and march into the fall and the winter and come out, you know, on the other side. So, you know, most nonprofit theaters in this country they're happy when they break even. And I know a business person doesn't like that. What do you aim to break even? That's not what you do. But as a nonprofit, you don't want to be pulling in, you know, exorbitant profits.
Yeah.
But for our first 2 years as a nonprofit, Riverside has come out in the black with a little bit of a cushion, which is really, really good, because that doesn't happen much in the performing arts. So especially with the extenuating costs that it, you know, people don't realize that to put on one show, it's in the range of, you know, almost $400,000 to $500,000, and that's on the modest side. Other theaters spend a lot more.
Yeah, so, no, and it depends. I look at some of these shows, especially when you have a bigger cast, mm-hmm. and then you have more support, and you just you just sit there and you look around, and you know, people are running the lights and the sound and the behind backstage. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot of people working in Riverside.
Yeah.
So, but we are happily, you know, we're making payroll, we're paying our bills, and then some. And I think that's it's a great thing for a theater. This will be our 28th season, starting with our next show. So, yeah.
And the word really getting out in the community.
That's what's
really exciting. We need a quick break. We'll come back and continue this discussion. Patrick Ahern, the CEO and producing artistic director at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts here, riversidedt.com. If you want to right now get tickets for the upcoming show or any of the shows, we'll get into all those as we go along this morning too on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern in this morning, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. RiversideDT.com is the website to hop on. Also Facebook with all kinds of information, too. As you were talking, Patrick, the other thing that came to mind was Riverside just shows that there is, not only in this area, I mean, I think anywhere, there still is a hunger for good theater and the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that thinks, well, we need to make some cuts and we'll cut the arts, mm-hmm. or it's too expensive to do this kind of thing. People will come out, and people will come out for good theater.
Well, you know, it's a proven fact that, because studies have been done, but it's a proven fact that the performing arts are essential to the health and well-being of a community. It's something that allows people to congregate all under one roof, one room, one space, and watch something together, you know, and respond to it, laugh, cry, tap into your emotions, and there's nothing like it. You know, and there never will be.
Right.
And yes, you know, there are concerts, but it's that essence of all gathering in a group and feeling alive. And So it's tremendous what it does for a community and why people are starved for it. And, you know, when you have people come up and say, seeing the show changed my life, or I was so down and depressed, I just lost my husband a year ago and I didn't go anywhere and this is my first time out, and how much better I feel. And, you know, what we do is extraordinary to think of how it lifts people up, teaches things to people that they may never have known. There's so many things, and you know, just from the pure standpoint that no matter when I go out to a grocery store or I'm walking or I'm in the community, and this probably happens now, if not on a weekly basis, but even a daily basis, mm-hmm. where people will stop me and tell me how much they love Riverside and thank you for what you do, and you provide this for the community. I mean, how could you ask for a better, you know? That's so great. I mean, you grow up, you wonder what you're going to do when you get big and older, and you find something you love to do, and I loved all the years that I was a performer, but then to be able to get to use all those things that you learned over the course of time and put a smile on people's faces, I just feel very grateful and blessed to have a job that allows me to do that.
There have been a number of shows, as every year there are, but especially this year, you had just a number of shows where there are just moments.
Yeah.
Where there is nobody moving. Because I can think of To Kill a Mockingbird, those last couple of minutes of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yep.
When it was just tugging the kids on stage, and there's nobody moving.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just been a number of those over the years. And you just sit there and you just think. The other thing that comes to me is, I'm right here at home. You know, I get in my car and 20 minutes later I'm home. You know, it's not like it's going to be an hour and a half.
No.
And I wonder what, you know, I'm thinking, I'm going to hate to look at Waze to see how long it's going to take me to get home.
Exactly.
We're right here.
Yeah, and what we've learned is that we become very convenient for people that might be an hour away from here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they prefer to go to an area where they're not going to be stuck in a ton of traffic as if they were heading north to go into D.C. And I'm not trying to take anybody away from D.C. or not. You should support all the arts organizations there as well. I don't know about the Kennedy Center. But no, I'm just kidding. But they can come to us and they can see a quality show and be inspired, like you're talking about, moments and stuff. And they can also have a meal if they'd like to add that to their ticket as well. And not pay for parking, free parking. Mm-hmm. And the convenience of getting back home within, you know, under an hour.
It's so easy. Especially the way they've changed that whole intersection now. It's so easy, north or south, to get on and get going.
It's just, you know, so when you think of, if you're going to go up to D.C. to see a show at one of their great regional theaters, or a Broadway tour that you would see at the Kennedy Center, at National Theater, other ones are, your ticket price is probably upwards of $200, and $200 probably puts you way up in the high seats, and that's before you spend a bit of money on food, parking, limited metro transportation. So when you can come and see a show that is equally as good, we might not have the same budget that a Broadway national tour has, but we certainly get the comments that people say, this is just as good as anything
that
we see.
Yeah.
Well, and you're spending under $100 for a ticket that would include a meal. How much better can that be?
And you had to feel so good, because I heard it from all kinds of people, that people that did go and see Sound of Music at the Kennedy Center and then came down and saw in here, and because your production of it was just wow.
It was a matter of you know, I've always been one to never settle or rest on my laurels or just, you know, oh, let's just put another show out there. When I'm involved and any of the directors that I hire to guest direct are involved, I want it to be fresh and different and inspiring. And that the combination of the title of Sound of Music, which, you know, that's one of the shows they say, if you're looking to pad your coffers, pull out Fiddler on the Roof, pull out Grease, pull out Sound of Music.
Yeah.
But I didn't. Of course, I did it because it was popular, but I wanted to put a fresh face on it. And I think that that did Riverside a big favor. Here again, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just trying to say that we aim to appeal to our audience because we always strive for excellence. And there you have it. I think Sound of Music was, well, as one of the critics wrote from D.C., in his 40 years of seeing community theater productions, high school productions, Broadway, national tours, it was the best production of Sound of Music he'd ever seen.
It was.
And
yeah.
All I aimed to, I didn't even aim to do that. I just aimed to make it relevant, to make it special, to make it, you know, hear the words of not only the songs, but listen to what the people are saying to one another, that it made a difference in people's lives.
One other thing, and I think this is just a subtle thing, but so often in a lot of communities, especially communities this size or even Richmond size, sometimes a lot of arts things, either the director or even just the organization just kind of stays and just caters to people that are going to come. You're in the community. You're in the community, I think, a lot more than, I mean, people now just take it for granted. But you show up at a lot of things,
yeah,
personally, or Riverside's at a lot of things.
Yeah.
You're in parades or you're at things,
mm-hmm,
and you're doing that kind of things, and that's intentional, and I think that's helped.
Yeah, you know, I've strived this since I've been here. It'll be 16 years in May. You need to have your community involved. You need to express the importance of the arts in your community. And our community has responded beautifully. I mean, the support that we get from Stafford County, because we're physically located in Stafford County, with a Fredericksburg address, but we participate in as much as we can in Fredericksburg, Spotsylvania, King George. We reach out as far as down south to, you know, Louisa, where we went on the road and we did a couple performances of Love Letters.
That was great, too. And they appreciated it.
Oh,
and you
absolutely.
And Sally had a great time.
We had a wonderful time.
In fact, I must say, mm-hmm, it was the first and only time, and maybe the only time, when you came out to do the second act without your microphone. It was fabulous.
And it added to a spontaneous moment on stage, because as I realized it and knew I was going to have to go back,
yeah,
how do we make this seamless? And I did. I said something funny to her as if I had forgotten my letter or whatever.
Yes.
And as I was back in the dressing room getting the mic on and all, I could hear the audience roaring. And I thought, oh boy, she's doing her one-woman show now.
She was.
This is going to be a tough act to follow.
She was.
I had to think of something. And I came up with something witty to say that got a big, huge laugh. So, but those moments are great. You know,
yeah,
you cherish those moments.
But to get out in the community like that.
Yeah.
And to do that and not be like, you know, with,
it's important.
You know. Yeah.
Well, I think this community is great. You know, it's funny, my niece said, we're going to New York. We want to go see Bond. And you got to come with us. And I said, you know, I don't know if I want to go to New York. What do you mean? You lived there for 30
right.
years.
Yeah.
And I said, precisely. I experienced New York.
Yeah.
And I love it here right now. I love my home. I love the community. I love what it has to offer. I love the friends that I've made in this area. And New York is part of the chapters of the book, so to speak.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will go usually to New York if it's business related, if it's a show that I should see, or, you know, just to stay fresh with what we do at Riverside. But as far as experiencing the city anymore, been there, done that. I watch, I'm a huge fan of Law & Order SVU. I watch it when it's on the weekends, and you can probably find it somewhere, anywhere you want, 24 hours a day.
And that explains why, because occasionally you will work in things
from
that show, because I think that
exactly.
And that explains it.
But when I'm watching that show, or there's a movie or a television show that is based in the city, you know, I get sentimental every now and then.
I'll see
my neighborhood in a film or my neighborhood in a television show or SVU. But as far as having this huge craving of going back and living there again, I really don't. Yeah.
Well, that's good for us.
Yeah.
We keep on keeping it, because you've got a good thing going here. And we're so lucky that Riverside is what it is, and you know, it's. I mean, I think it's you. I think it's people like Ian or Sherry or you know,
Andrea, Kathy, Helena, all those, and most of these people we are talking about. Sherry Hayden was born and raised in this area, but Ian Lane, Kathy, Helena, Andrea Kahane, are people that moved to this area because they got hired to be in a show at Riverside and loved it so much they decided to make this area their home, and that makes me feel really, really good.
Oh, and Kathy's had just some iconic performances this year.
Yeah,
and it's just been
it's we've created such a family environment at Riverside. And when I say that, it's hard work, and people have to do what they need to do and be there and be on time. But when all is said and done, we had several new people in White Christmas, and all of them came to me and said how much they loved the experience at Riverside, and what an honor to have been a part, and can't wait to come back. And that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
You know, you want that at your place of business. So it's I'm very content here. I love my neighborhood. I love the convenience of travel to my job. I love the people in this area, and I'm going to keep doing it for as long as I can.
And I get to I get you once a month, and we do a podcast.
Yeah.
So I get you actually a couple times a month.
Yeah.
And so it's,
it's all those great things.
It's good stuff. Good stuff. Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, riversidedt.com. Patrick Ahern is here, the CEO and producing artistic director at Riverside. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern in this morning, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. We haven't even talked about it. We've just been you and I. This is just like
chatting,
sitting around before.
Year end.
Yeah.
Yep.
And but it has it has been a really good year in looking ahead, and always in January you do these kind of focus shows on a personality. It's Donna Summer this time,
and Donna Summer, and it's been a slow sell a little bit, but let me just say this: in all my years at Riverside, we closed White Christmas Sunday night. We had what is called a read through, sing through.
Yeah.
Of the show, because we finally had the entire cast, you know, with holidays and all that kind of stuff, people coming in. We had the entire cast all sit around a big conference table that we create. It's, you know, for 20-some people to sit around. And what they do is they read down the script, and as the songs come along, it's like a sit-down of a performance.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we do that for every show.
So they're reading.
They're reading from the script. Those of them who've already got their stuff memorized can choose to just have it there as whatever. And those of them who have not memorized yet, just read it. And in all my time at Riverside, I have never been more inspired than what I saw Sunday night with Summer, the Donna Summer musical.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you in a read-through situation, you know the show, and I like to be there because it gives me a sense of what's going to be there, and is there anything I don't care for or whatever. But sometimes I'll go, well, I'm probably not going to stay for the whole. I'll stay for the first act. I didn't want to leave the room.
Hmm.
It was so amazing. And the three girls, the three women, Tyandrea Jabbar, who plays young Donna, and Janae Starr, who plays disco Donna, and the amazing Tanisha Harris, who plays diva Donna, those three girls, I don't think you're going to see it better than these three girls playing Donna Summer. And a lot of people, oh, Donna Summer, wasn't she a disco singer? It's amazing how much we don't know about their personal lives.
Yeah.
And how important it is to know the story behind the great singer. And then you forget all the songs that she had made so popular.
Yeah.
And they just filter in. And it is high energy. It is so entertaining, spiritual at times in nature. We're doing it all in one act, so there is no intermission.
Really?
And it's 90 minutes straight through. So the show, you will come in that door at 7:30 at night to see the show or whatever the matinee times are, and that show will come down right around 9 o'clock, a little after 9. So you feel like you can get over to the theater, you can see a great show, and you're home by 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the talent all around in the supporting roles, the ensemble. Carson, again, has just hit it out of the park with the music. And it's going to knock people out. And this is the way I feel about the show, and I'm going to say this right now, and I hope people are listening. This is a show that if you don't come and see it, you're going to regret the fact that you didn't see it. Tanisha Harris, who was the runner-up on NBC's The Voice back in 2020, when they say The Voice, this lady's The Voice.
Mm-hmm. She's been here before.
And she's been here before. She did Ghost. She was Oda Mae, Whoopi Goldberg role. And she did Joseph. She was the Pharaoh, which is typically a Elvis Presley impersonation, but we did Aretha Franklin instead. But this role, this show, you see the entire volume, and when I say volume, not just noise, but innards of her performance level. She is a great actor. Her voice is, people were sitting in the room, she opens the show, and the cast was looking at each other like, we're sitting in a room, we're amongst greatness right
yeah.
now. Because her voice is captivating. And then you get the other two girls singing the song with the whole ensemble. And then the show ends with the three of them singing Last Dance, where probably the audience is going to be up just dancing in the aisles. There's going to be nothing like it. And it's uncanny. I think it's probably going to be better than what people saw on Broadway, because Tanisha's vocals are much more powerful than the lady that did it on Broadway.
I'll have to repost, because you and I did a podcast with her a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'll repost that, just because she was so passionate about it and so excited about the program. And now
yeah.
that you say this, it all matches up.
It's just, I think it's a show that people are going to want to see twice. You're going to get on the train, and the train's going to go many miles an hour, and all of a sudden it's over. And wow, it's, and this is just a read through.
Yeah.
I can't imagine once we get the set, the costumes, the
yeah.
whole feel, the performances. I am so excited. It's something completely different than anything we have done. And it is a concert kind of situation, but a concert with heart, with story, with, yeah. If you love great music, and you know, you may think disco and think to yourself, well, but disco, that... Yes, it's high energy, but there's some great ballads that were
yeah,
written.
And she was so good.
There's some great purpose. There's some spiritual songs that are done that'll knock you out. Come and see Donna Summer. And I've been telling everybody, you know, think of it like we're summer in the winter. at Riverside, yeah, because it is going to be heated there with just if even if you don't like the story, or even if you say, nah, I don't know if I care about Donna Summer or whatever, you want to come just for the magnitude of the vocals, of the voices. Mm-hmm. You're going to say, I'm sitting here in Stafford County, Virginia, and I'm listening to, like, headliners that would be in Vegas that you'd pay a fortune to see.
Yeah.
These girls' voices will knock you out, and it's right here in our own backyard.
Well, and I think this will be one of the shows, too, that after I go to it, I'll go and I'll be jumping on iTunes and adding a few more songs.
Yeah.
Because that's happened to me on a number of shows, and especially these January shows. Because I think of the Carole King story a few years ago.
Yeah.
And that was just fabulous. And
fantastic,
I didn't really
get
all that much. I went in, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of her music. I liked it. But I saw that show, and I got a whole new appreciation, and ended up adding four songs on my phone.
With Carole King, so much of her, she was a writer first.
Yes.
So you didn't even associate some of the songs
you
knew with the fact she wrote them. And then when she decided to be, you know, take the microphone and sing her own music, well, then she became even bigger.
But, and I'm trying to remember the song, and I think in that one it's Too Late, but because I can still see it on the stage because it was a transition, and she just goes right into that song.
Yep.
And it was just powerful. She decided she was going off on her own at that point. Mm-hmm. And the way you did that, and every time I hear that song now, I think of that moment at Riverside.
Yep. No,
and I did with many of the Million Dollar Quartet, same thing. A bunch of those songs I associate with Riverside.
Yeah. No, we've been doing these jukebox musicals now for probably 10 years now. We like to do those in January because, you know, there's always that letdown after the holidays. And so the last thing you want to do at the start of the year is do a downer of the show.
Yeah.
So those songs that are sort of like a concert with the story of somebody famous, either composer, singer, group, like Jersey Boys, it usually has energized our audiences. And that can be our biggest sell of the season sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that it turns out that way with Donna Summer, because I think when word gets out and all the publicity gets out, it's going to be a show that everybody is, like I say, you will regret it if people get out in the community and say to you, did you see that show at Riverside? And you didn't see it?
Yeah, I'm not a disco fan. Yeah, you're right.
And we can't bottle it. It's only going to happen for 7 weeks in the space and nowhere else.
And that's a difference. That's a change, a little subtle change this
year.
We
are making this change this year at Riverside, that we have decided to make the runs of the shows shorter. Because what we have found is that when we run a show for anywhere from 8 weeks to 10 weeks sometimes, that the first couple of weeks, the shows are ready to go. There used to be a reputation at Riverside that, well, don't go in the first few weeks because the show's not ready. No, the shows are ready.
Shows are ready. Right.
They may marinate more, and when you see it at the end of the run, you might feel as though the people are more connected, the chemistry is stronger, but the shows are always ready to go. But a lot of people, when they see an ad or they see the information listed, and they go, oh, well, that runs from, you know, January 1st to March, and, oh, I got a lot of time. And so, generally, the beginning of the run is slow. And as a business, you know, that's not always great to be an entire huge staff, and you might have 40 people in an audience some nights. So we've decided to create the urgency for people, because now they know, you know, we were nearly sold out for Sound of Music for the run of the show, and nearly sold out for White Christmas. With the added attendance this year of brand new people to Riverside, get your tickets, you know, get them early. So this will be a 7 week run of Donna Summer. So you don't want to delay, because before, it's not even 2 months that we're running the show. It's about a month and a half.
And
then the show following it, Little Women, the musical, that will only be 6 weeks. So none of our... The only show that will be 8 weeks will be A Christmas Carol, the musical, which we do in the holidays next year in 2026. Okay. But everything else is either a 7 or a 6 week run.
And it gives you then the opportunity to, you have some, have continued to have just some fabulous kind of, you know, one night kind of shows.
Yeah, we can do that. We may choose not to do as much of it this year because we want to focus on the main stage and the two main stage children shows that we have coming up, James and the Giant Peach, in February. Okay. And then next fall, we will have Shrek Jr. We've never done Shrek at Riverside. So that will be coming to the Riverside stage. So staying strong with what we do, and seeing how this condensed runs go are important. And the other great thing about the shortening the runs is now it gives us the freedom. Say Donna Summer is packing them in, and there's a huge need to maybe add a week. Now we have the ability to do that, to add a week to the run of a show if it's very, very popular.
Yeah.
So at least it gives you a little bit to work with instead of having to be, okay, well, that's it. We can't because the next show has to open the following Wednesday, and we're loaded with groups that day, so we can't postpone it. We have to go for it. So I think I'm excited to see how this changing the game plan around a little bit is going to work for us.
So Summer, the Donna Summer musical, that's going to start, is it the 15th?
It's going to open on the 16th. We were supposed to open on the 14th.
Yeah.
But we made some executive decisions to postpone the opening until Friday, the 16th.
So
it's listed probably on our website still, or some advertisements as the 14th. But that's a Wednesday, and we will not be doing that Wednesday, but we will be opening on that for Friday, the 16th, and it will run until March the 1st.
And like you said, because of those big numbers that we talked about earlier, just from those last two shows, there are new people now that are going to be buying tickets along with you, and don't be like me. I think it was Greece that I waited until the end, and I sat literally in the back row.
Yeah.
I sat almost on the lap of the sound technicians.
Well, that's been happening a lot lately.
So that's why it's a good reminder that there are a lot of new people. And so this is like going to the gym in January where everybody starts piling in. They've discovered Riverside. And so they're going to be buying tickets along with you.
Yeah. Maybe that should be my tagline. It's just like going to the gym in January. Get your tickets.
I think that's going to happen here. Again, Summer, the Donna Summer musical on January 16th through March 1st. Again, that's not a long time, like you say.
No.
Especially if you like it.
Go back. And you will like it. I mean, just to hear these women sing, you'll sit there and you'll be like, where am I? These voices, that's what I sat there Sunday night and I just was enthralled. And it actually brought tears to my eyes. Not anything that sad made me tear up, but I just was so proud to be so inspired by the talent sitting in that room for rehearsals. It just, you don't get that everywhere. You really don't. And when you get a cast, sit around a table and their eyes light up when they hear somebody's voice or they deliver a line, and you see your entire cast inspired.
Yeah.
You know you're going to inspire an audience. So, and the songs, the tunes are great. The orchestra for the show is going to be great. It's just perfect for girls' night out and groups that enjoy great music and fun and it's just
between the music and I know nothing about dancing. Mm-hmm. Stephanie has just
Stephanie,
the level of the when you just see it every show. It's just so high energy and just so professional.
Yeah. Stephanie Wood Harrington is the best.
Yeah,
that's all I can say. And I just love working with her because she always choreographs the shows that I direct, and she's my assistant director now because she's so bright, so smart, makes great suggestions, and she's a wonderful energy. She's a positive person. She always wants the best, and she's such a team player. And we're lucky to have that. Stephanie and Carson Eubank.
Oh.
I mean, same thing. You know, just I am truly blessed. You know, a lot of times people will reach out to me and say, what you've done, it's not just me. You know, I'm the visionary. I put it all together, but there's no way in hell I could do all of that on my own. These wonderful people, these core people that have decided to make a living at Riverside, truly are great.
Patrick Ahern here, RiversideDT.com. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Wow, what a fast hour this has been with Patrick Ahern. This hour kind of went by like the year has gone, Patrick. I just can't believe
it. You know, in our business, it's a given that it's going to go fast because you're already always a year or two ahead. And I'm planning now. We probably will finalize the 2027 season in the next couple of weeks. It was funny. I was standing in front of the audience the other day talking about end of Christmas and it's over, and I said I remember last year Christmas of 2024 as if it were just 2 days ago. And so I'm standing here, and I know you're all blue because the holidays are over, but boy will they be back.
I'm
sure I'll be saying this a year from now, that you know how quickly they go. But
well, it's going to be a great year too.
It's a great year. The shows, it's an eclectic mix of, you know, Donna Summer the musical and Little Women, the great novel by Louisa May Alcott.
I didn't even know that was a musical.
Well, it's only a newer musical within the past, I think, 20 years.
Okay.
So, it's charming and lovely. And then we've got Guys and Dolls, which I'm just so excited to do, and I'll be directing that. And then Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap.
I know a lot of people looking forward to those two,
murder mystery,
especially.
Yeah, and then Sweeney Todd. Mm-hmm. I've been my all-time favorite musical. It's just... everybody thinks, oh, we don't want to go see that. Is there blood? Is there? No. I mean, it's probably one of the most iconic musicals of all time ever written.
Yeah.
The great Stephen Sondheim. The music is just extraordinary. It's like an opera, really.
And Chris Sanders coming
Chris
back
Chris Sanders
that.
Coming in, and Nancy Anderson from Broadway. What an amazing actor playing Mrs. Lovett. I think that will be the next peak for us at Riverside when fall comes around.
Yeah.
And then A Christmas Carol, the musical. We've never done A Christmas Carol at...
really?
No,
I
they've done
never have guessed
Scrooge before,
yeah.
But we've done A Christmas Story, of course, White Christmas, but never A Christmas Carol, the traditional story. And so that will be Alan Menken, who wrote the music for Beauty and the Beast and The Little Mermaid, all the Disney stuff. He wrote this musical version, and the music is wonderful, the story we all know.
Yeah.
And so there you go. It's just a fantastic season. Yeah.
Tiny Tim on the stage.
Tiny Tim on the stage. Yeah.
At Riverside.
And Tiny Tim, who will not be singing Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. No, it's going to be so. Again, we talk about there's so many people have discovered and will discover Riverside, and you're going to find it tougher to get tickets. So map this all out.
The amount of people that come up to me and say, we didn't expect this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny.
Somebody here, we had the same thing last year.
And
that was, you know, they ended up coming back several more.
Yeah, it's. I think some people think if they're coming to an area, I mean, this area is no longer small town anymore. I mean, mm-hmm. It's grown so much. But I think sometimes people think that if they're not going into a major city or they're not going to Broadway, that it's just going to be something cute or something, you know, whatever.
Right.
And we're cute at Riverside, but we are excellent cute at Riverside. So I think the word has just caught on big time this year, and it's just going to continue to grow. Yeah,
I like that. Patrick Ahern, Riverside, they're cute.
Yeah.
That's another little kick.
We're excellent cute.
Right.
And I do have to give a shout out. We have an incredible new, not all new, but our nonprofit board of directors mm-hmm. is just phenomenal. People from Northern Virginia, people from Richmond, all with great ideas. They are doers. They help. They give me such great advice and tools to work with. I can't say enough about our board. It's a great group of people, and our current president Becky DiNello, who is has taken over, just a fantastic group of people, and I can't say enough about them.
We'll have to talk about them a little bit more, and maybe bring one of them in sometime.
Yeah,
to add.
I think it would be
show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And next week, next Thursday, I believe you and the cast. The three Donnas are coming.
Yes, we will be coming. Yeah, you've got it. These girls are going to be great.
Yeah, so that'll be
great. So we'll be in on next Thursday. That's quick turnaround. But
it is, yeah,
I think we really. I want everybody to get the word out on this show. I am telling you right now, just for the pure magnitude of the vocals, come and see Donna Summer.
Thanks for listening to RiversideDT.com.
Thanks,
1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.